You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Yarra Bicycle Users Group radio program on 3CR Radical Radio, broadcasting from Naram, Melbourne, Australia. We're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris, and Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a weekly program broadcasting on 3CR since 2008 about local cycling issues, advocacy, getting around without a combustion engine, and adventures. And today we're going to be leaning in heavily on the advocacy side. I've got a show coming up today that I just want to put a bit of a warning out of it. Some of the content that we're going to be talking about, Macaulay Road issues and a recent fatality that occurred, and I'll be talking to Aline Sandell about that. And just if you are a friend of the, or you've known about what's happened in there, Macaulay Road, I just want to put a little bit of a warning on that, because it is such a painful issue to speak about when infrastructure or the lack thereof intersects with the loss of someone's life or things that could have been done that weren't. It's a continual story, and unfortunately a storyline and an arc and the rest of it of well, we'll discuss that more broadly when I get to speak to Elaine. And also I'm going to be speaking to Karen, who's a frequent guest on the show, about Wellington Street. Now that's out for consultation for the north end of it. As you would know, that we've been waiting forever and a day since what, 2010, for things to be finalised on that very well-used piece of infrastructure, which, you know, again, getting back to when we finally got it in what, 2019, as a friend Miller's put it, it was like having half a tennis court. It's interesting to note that, again, if you do ride Wellington Street, when you use it, it's like it goes from the kind of industrial, which is now, you know, been redeveloped into residential, and you go up to, go over Johnson Street, and it turns into more residential, but a not particularly pleasant experience at times. And you listened to the show last week when Faith and Val were speaking to Alison from Bicycle Network. Val was came up with some very good observations about what that's like to ride, and yeah, we're going to be chatting about some issues around that. And also you've got 1 week to put in your feedback. And as I've mentioned on the show a few times, Yarra Bicycle User Group, our preferred option is the Bicycle Street, which is basically some very simple modal filters. And it's interesting to see the discussion and or debate around this, or what is being discussed and what's being omitted and what's being cherry-picked. Basically, I'm not saying let's just wave a magic wand and everything's going to be magical and wonderful, but invariably, living in the inner suburbs, things change. Things change at a rate sometimes which is a bit slow. Sometimes, invariably, you live in an area which has benefited from a lot of change before you got there. And I can think of that because I'm thinking of the particular street that up in Clifton Hill, waffling on a bit here. Gee, my God, that has changed in the last 35 years from when I knew it, with the outside toilet and a lot of people living in a share house, to now it's worth a gazillion bucks and you can't afford to live there. Anyway, I digress. I'd like to go on a whole bunch about housing scarcity, but that's probably for another show on 3CR's grid. Now, there's a lot on this week. Tomorrow night, Bicycle Network have got their 50th anniversary thing on at the Capitol Theatre. I think they discussed that last week on the show with Ali. And this week, this month, October, so much on. I'm just trying to bring up a thing here from Richmond Repair Corner, and they've put into a really good little thing, little slide, or whatever you call it, or reel on Insta, of it's Buy Nothing New Month. And on the weekend, no disposable cup day, up to you. Okay, 15th, National Ride to Work Day. She's just timed out. Okay, the 18th, International Repair Day. And also, what's really, really important for us locals, down at the Richmond Repair Corner, they're going to have another one of their Richmond Repair Corner sessions on the 26th. That is a Sunday. So I'll put that into the podcast description alongside a whole bunch of information to do with Ride to Work and also Biketober. A lot of stuff going on for Biketober. I've seen a lot of councils get involved, a lot of groups get involved, and invariably I can't see anything for Yarra. If there is something for Yarra, I'll try and find it in the podcast description, but there's some funny things going on in this area where what actually happens in reality doesn't quite match up with... we'll just leave it at that. Okay, so after the break, I'm going to be talking to Elaine Sandell about Macaulay Road issues. And just a warning, we will be talking about some fairly heavy material in this. And we'll just try and be as mindful as possible because I do realise this has, it's an investigation. We've got to leave the authorities up to do what they need to do after there's been a fatality. But I'll just bear that in mind if you don't wish to listen to this next segment.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Throughout September, we're asking you to become a regular donor. By setting up an ongoing automatic monthly donation, you'll help provide a stable foundation for 3CR. If we know we can count on your donation every month, it means we can better plan and resource our broadcasting. Whether it's First Nations justice, workers' rights, climate action, independent music, housing advocacy, or disability activism, your regular support ensures that these movements and struggles have a platform every single week. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
And you indeed listening to 3CR. I'm just waiting to get a call. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to reverse the show around and we're going to listen to an interview I did with Karen when we're going to be talking about Wellington Street issues. We're at Darling Gardens. We've just been over at City of Yarra doing a pop-up for the consultation of Wellington Street North, and you couldn't get a better day, could you?
It's a beautiful day. So I'm Karen, and I've been here since 9:30 this morning after I brought 5 bikes on my cargo bike up here and had chats with some parents and encouraged some kids to ride bikes up and down while their parents participated in the engagement activity that City of Yarra are running.
So there's basically, how many options have we got on Wellington Street?
We've effectively got 4 options on Wellington Street. And we've got 2 options for each of the stages. So stage 3 between Johnson Street and Alexandra Parade, mm-hmm. and stage 4 between Alexandra Parade and Queen's Parade. And then we've got 2 options for each of those stages. So we've effectively got 4 variations that are available or that are being presented in the engagement from City of Yarra.
Without going into too much boring detail, the thing that gets me is, like, you know when you do your budgetary forwarding, or the correct terminology evades me. In terms of if a local council is a bit cash-strapped and they're looking at the best possible option, and I've been looking at some of the crash stats for this area,
combined with, I'm loading this up, as you can tell, some of the stuff that's been done in Carlton and Collingwood for decades, which is the modal filters. Wouldn't you kind of be looking at the bike street option?
I think that that's certainly the option that the people I've been talking to today seem pretty keen on. Pretty much as soon as you mention Canning Street and you say, look, it's like Canning Street, there are modal filters, there are blockages in the road that mean that the bikes and the people can still get through, but the cars need to turn away and head away from that street. That makes for a really beautiful street for people to be in and for riding and doing all of the things, and significantly reduces the amount of traffic that the people in that street experience.
If you look at the plans for Wellington Street North, which we're talking about, the traffic reticulation stuff, what do you make of that? Will that cause problems or will things stabilise? That's the problem with traffic. Everyone's got an opinion. It's kind of doing this deciphering between this will immediately impact me and it's the worst thing ever to let's have an open-minded approach to see if this works.
So I think there's a good chance that initially there might be some extra cars that go down some of the side streets, just as the regular commuters are learning a new way of being and a new way of getting to work, you know, learning that riding a bike might be faster. So I think that that's quite likely. I think that we've seen on other consultations and council decisions, there's been opportunities to put in extra traffic counting and to make sure that there's a review that means that if there are any issues, that they can be addressed as quickly as possible. We're getting the amenity outcome that we're hoping for from the changes.
I think there's a lot of assumptions around, people come to this, it's the first time I've ever encountered something like this, and they come to a lot of assumptions, and we've got to kind of listen to people from where they're coming from. Just trying to pick apart some stuff that I've read about, like all these car parks that are going to disappear.
Yeah, look, the council materials says that there's about 13 car parking spaces that are likely to be lost if we go for this option one, Bicycle Street, Canning Street clone. And I'm sure that's really likely. That seems quite a reasonable number of people who are likely to be impacted. At the same time, we've currently got 2,000 people on bikes riding down Wellington Street. With these changes, that's likely to increase significantly. I think it's a really small price to pay for reducing the number of cars by about 80% and making the Wellington Street into a place where you can have your kids go out and play because there's so little traffic.
We don't notice any time.
I think one of the things that people talk a lot about in living in the inner city is how surprised they are that they know their neighbours and that they can see their neighbours and know and see them down at the local park or doing all of those sorts of things. The way that this area is structured, it actually encourages people to be walking. And even if they're driving their cars regularly, they're parking away from their houses and they're forced to be on the footpath and walking around and seeing their neighbours. And that actually creates a really lovely community that everybody wants to be a part of.
And it was because of economically things had moved on. It used to be waves of migrants or older people who'd lived here for a long time and things had moved on. And you had cheaper rents and all the rest of it.
Look, I think there's a lot more families in this area too. I think that the area where what used to happen in this area was that people would have their first baby and they'd stay. And they'd have their second baby and they'd move out to the suburbs. Difference between Wellington Street and Gold Street. Structurally, they're very similar streets. Go to similar places. Difference is that the commuters can't go through Gold Street because it's closed, but they can through Wellington Street. And I think you can see that living on Gold Street much more pleasant than living on Wellington Street. I think that these changes could actually make Wellington Street much more like what we're seeing here today in Gold Street.
Well, you've got two entirely different streets. One side of Wellington used to be industrial, now it's residential. And up here, it's far more residential because of the way that the houses they were put in 120 years ago. I think there is a little catch here where people have got to be careful. They're not inadvertently, by opposing, they may inadvertently be putting in something that actually deteriorates their quality of living and living here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that the changes to Wellington Street are actually a huge opportunity for the people who live in this area, where they should be embracing it as hard as they can. So yeah, I've been really pushing for people to hop onto the Yarrabug website. You can see all of the arguments that we have around this option one, the bicycle street, Canning Street clone, if you like, and a bit more information about that. There's also a link there to the Your Say Yarra website, which has the survey that is being run by the City of Yarra right now. And we need as many people as possible to complete those surveys and to support option one, Wellington Street, as nice a street as it can be, and a really pleasant and safe place for people on bikes, people who are walking.
All these modal filters they were putting in Carlton, Fitzroy, Collingwood were done 70s, 80s. Now it's just a similar process. And people want to live in those areas because of those little bits of infrastructure where actually, in terms of bang for buck, are pretty damn good.
Canning Street is the most popular bicycle street in the whole of Melbourne, pretty much.
And it's also a great place to live too.
And it's a great place to live, that's right.
I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hello there, I'm Virginia from The Gardening Show. What if there was a viable solution to climate change? Treasured Perennials Nursery are sponsoring a screening of Kiss the Ground documentary, exploring how, through our soils, we can stabilise the Earth's climate, restore lost ecosystems, and provide future food security. A mini event with stalls, demonstrations, and a Q&A session. It's going to be at Fernie Creek Horticultural Society, which is in Hilton Road in Sassafras, on November the 15th, 11:30 to 4 p.m. Tickets will be $15.50 through TryBooking. Head to trybooking.com and search for Kiss the Ground. All proceeds, of course, are donated to 3CR. Treasured Perennials Nursery is a 3CR supporter and regularly appear on The Gardening Show.
And you're back listening to Yarra Bicycle User Group Radio on 3CR Radical Radio. And on the line today, we finally got you.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Now, I wish I was speaking to you under happier circumstances. We want to discuss some Macaulay Road issues, and there was an article in The Age on the weekend that was pretty in-depth about what has occurred in terms of we've had a fatality. Do you want to just speak to that, Ellen?
Yeah, sure. So this happened in my electorate. So I'm the member for Melbourne for the Greens, and I'm also the leader of the Victorian Greens, but this happened just right around the corner from my house in Kensington, where unfortunately an 18-year-old was killed on his bike being hit by a truck. So the truck turning left, the cyclist going straight is our understanding, and just an awful, awful circumstance for that young man and for his family and for our whole community. And the real heartbreaking thing is to think that these bike lanes should have been made safer. And in fact, the City of Melbourne has had plans to make these bike lanes safer and put separated bike lanes on this stretch of road where this young man was killed. They've had those plans in place for the last 4 years, budgeted for them, detailed design. They've got large community support. It's already gone out for consultation. And it was actually the state Labor government, the Department of Transport, that has refused to approve them for the last 4 years. So just heartbreaking to think that his life could have been saved if we had these safer bike lanes in place when they were supposed to be in place.
And this is at the intersection of
Macaulay Road and Rankins Road in Kensington, just right near Kensington Station for people who know the area.
Yeah, and it's there's a lot of redevelopment work and stuff going along Macaulay at the moment, but that's no reason for what occurred. And I understand that, look, it is subject to investigation, so we need to be mindful, and also of Will's family, who I don't even have words for this, because apparently this occurred on his birthday.
Yeah, that's another heartbreaking thing about it. He was at a birthday brunch with his family in Kensington and then heading off on his bike to uni. Nobody should have to risk their lives just by heading off to uni, heading off to work, heading off to school on their bike. Our streets need to be safe for everybody. That means bike riders, pedestrians, and drivers, and all too often they are not safe for bike riders and pedestrians. And we've had many, unfortunately, many deaths with bike riders either being hit by trucks or cars in our electorate over the last few years, and it's not good enough. We're not seeing that investment in bike safe infrastructure like we should be.
Yeah, because going back to 2022, it was a catalyst, a very unfortunate catalyst, was a young woman's death in the CBD. And it was something as little as just putting your foot down on the pedal and just misbalancing. And I think that's what happened in that circumstance. And that happened like a month or two out from the so-called bike lane pause that was so hyped up in the media. And it was actually... there was at a City of Melbourne meeting, the Future Melbourne ones, where a lot of advocates and just interested people got together, and it was like a reinvigoration of Melbourne's bicycle advocacy scene, that thing. And these incidences, I wish they didn't occur to make things move on. But we're seeing stuff like linking back to the Age article, which is quite good and quite in-depth. There's a little bit of stuff missing in that, but still I'm pleased that the Age did put up the in-depth plans and the rest of it. But what is the hold-up? Is it because it's politically not expedient for these things to occur, or what?
Look, it's a very good question, and we don't fully know why the state government, the state Labor government, Department of Transport, constantly delays new bike lanes when the local council, City of Melbourne, has already approved them. They've already budgeted for them, so it's not costing the state any money, and they've already gone out to community consultations, so the support is there. We don't know why the state government continues to delay these bike lanes. It's not just happened on Macaulay Road, it's happened on Queensbury Street and many other streets around our inner city. We can't get a straight answer out of them, which is the disappointing thing. A lot of the time they'll blame it on other works happening. So, for example, we can't actually approve bike lanes until we know what more traffic will be put onto our streets because of the Westgate Toll Road, for example. But I think that's a very poor excuse. We know that our roads are not safe for cyclists. We have bike lanes that City of Melbourne's happy to pay for, and they've already done the community consultation. Let's get on with them. I think the real reason for bike riders, they prioritise cars and trucks and movement of those vehicles rather than the safety of vulnerable road users like bike riders and pedestrians. And I think that that's not good enough. And I applaud all those who are coming out and advocating for safer transport links for these road users.
Mm. I was just going to directly quote the article here. The bike lanes were first budgeted fully by the City of Melbourne in 2021, and community consultation was undertaken in 2023 with 87% of community members in support. And they went out for consultation simultaneously with an almost identical project for Arden Street. The Arden Street bike lanes were approved by DTP and construction began June last year, but the Macaulay bike lanes are still awaiting approval by the department, according to the council's latest budget. And there's something omitted from that, but again, we'll wait for that to wash out. And, what can people do to bring this to the state government's attention? And, again, I am really, really, really tired of this kind of narrative we get that throughput is more important. We've just got to increase more vehicles on our roads, regardless of the impacts they have on our communities, pedestrians, other car drivers and cyclists. Okay, it's not just a cyclist issue. We are actually, Melbourne, we're just being absolutely slammed with traffic. And we're just, our authorities are just kind of given up, really.
Yeah, it is. It's a matter of priority, isn't it? And I think the state Labor government has never really prioritised bike riders and pedestrians, but I think that's to all of our detriment because we know that livable modern cities do prioritise that active transport so that people can easily get around our city and safely, and everyone can, not just people who are happy to run the gauntlet and risk their lives, but everybody, children, women, we know that they're more likely to use our roads on their bikes if there is safe, protected bike lanes. So what can people do? It's a very good question. Well, I've started a petition on my website, Ellen Sandell, at sandell.com, and people can sign that to ask for the state government to approve the bike lanes on Macaulay Road as a matter of urgency. But I encourage people, I know that it seems like a small thing, but call up or email your local state member of parliament and tell them that you are horrified to see another death on our streets from a truck hitting a cyclist, and that you want safer bike lanes. They need to hear this outpouring of community support so that they're feeling like the community will not let them get away with what they're currently doing, which is prioritising trucks and cars instead.
Mm.
And I applaud Will's family, the young man who died, for coming out and talking to the press. This is an extraordinarily difficult time for them. And, you know, I keep getting stopped in the street every day by people who knew Will and talk about just what an amazing young person he was. So generous with other people, so dedicated to his sport, to his studies, just a really incredible community member that we have lost. And my heart goes out to him and his family. And I hope that we can see some action from this senseless death.
Yeah, this our decision makers in a very various levels thereof, their perception is just really strange to me in terms of I'd see, like, you know, the ability to get around your city is a social justice issue, regardless of it's PT, walking, cycling in a car, and it's just all heavily predicated towards private combustion engine transport, and it's not the way a modern city should be run. Our road hierarchy is just a mess, and I hate to kind of do this, but, you know, you look overseas and other cities are changing. And Australia, we seem to have this exceptionalism where we can't possibly do any of this because we're just so novel and unique and everything's based around the car.
Yeah, that's right. And it's quite backwards thinking to think that we want to put more trucks and cars on our streets. It's not the way other modern cities are doing it. It's not the way a livable city is run. Look at the Westgate Toll Road, for example. The government supported that, you know, and a lot of profits will go to these big private toll road companies, and we'll get more trucks and cars onto our CBD streets, which doesn't make any sense. Most modern cities are creating alternate transport in their inner city so that it's much easier to ride, to walk, to catch public transport. And as you say, it is a social justice issue because we need everybody to be able to get around our cities, that they make for more livable cities, they make for more cities that are better economically because people can actually participate in life in our city even if they don't have a private vehicle. And so there are a lot of reasons why we need safer bike lanes and safer pedestrian links, and let's hope that we see an outpouring of community support for this over the coming weeks that is too loud for the state Labor government to continue to ignore.
Yeah, the right to public life, as one previous guest on the show said, and it's just has such powerful implications. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your time today. And again, sign the petition that's available on your website and contact your local member.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate the time you've taken. Thanks. And that's all we've got time for today on Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio. Thank you for putting up a few little glitches, but we've got through to the end. As I said earlier in the show, there's a bunch of stuff happening this month. There's the Bicycle Network have got their 50th anniversary on tomorrow night at the Capitol Theatre. There's probably a heap more things I could put in it, but we've got one more week to go in the Wellington Street consultation. And again, to repeat, our suggestion is option one for both stage three and four, which is the bicycle street. And again, like all these things, they take time, they take feedback, and it is well worth you going into, you know, your say Yarra and, you know, selecting what option and putting your feedback in, because this is how things are, you know, the participation works. I know we are living an age of just absolute churn and social media, and to go into other things of, you know, you just keep reading about, pardon that, about people think they've got a cheat code to make things work. And that's not how the things should run. It should be a civil society, not one with the loudest voice or the deepest pockets. Okay, naive and a bit general, but I think you know where I'm coming from. Okay, that's all I've got time for today. The podcast should be up shortly and on demand. Val and Faith will be back in the studio next week, and enjoy your day.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.